Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
With little progress in debt ceiling talks, Fitch considers a downgrade of the U.S. credit rating. Plus, Ron DeSantis kicks off his 2024 White House bid.
DeSantis has a big challenge. He slipped in the polls himself. He's had some unsteady moments so far, including the launch on Twitter. So he's got a lot of ground to make up.
And AI demand powers up chip maker NVIDIA. It's Thursday, May 25th. I'm Luke Vargas with Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in Washington, where White House and Republican negotiators are struggling to reach an agreement on raising the U.S. debt limit. The looming deadline had begun to rattle some investors in recent days, but the situation could be escalating, with ratings agency Fitch now saying that America's AAA credit rating could be on the line. Wall Street Journal markets editor Matthew Thomas is here now to break down what to make of that ratings warning and how else markets are reacting to the situation in Washington. Matthew, tell us, what is Fitch saying here? What should we make of this warning?
So Fitch has essentially put the credit rating of US, which is now AAA, the highest it can possibly be, it's put that rating on watch, on rating watch negative. So essentially, it's now considering whether it should downgrade the credit rating of the largest economy in the world, which represents the largest bond issuer in the world, and which kind of represents the bedrock for so many different markets. So this is a major moment.
So is that warning, rating watch negative, based on a belief on Fitch's part that the U.S. is going to default?
No. The first point they mention in their long list of rating drivers is debt ceiling brinkmanship. It's based on, as they say, direct quote, I've got the report in front of me, increased political partisanship that's hindering reaching a resolution. You know, we've been here before with debt ceiling negotiations. In some ways, the bigger question is not whether they will reach a deal now. And they probably will. I think most investors are expecting a deal to be reached. But whether the fact that we are once again in these kind of 11th hour discussions, whether that should have a long run impact on the credit rating of the U.S.
Matthew, the Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy, was on Fox Business last night addressing the markets with some thoughts on how investors should be processing the situation in Washington. Let's hear what he had to say.
I would not, if I was in the markets, to be afraid of anything in this process. I wouldn't scare the markets in any shape or form. We will come to an agreement when we get it worthy of the American public, and there should not be any fear.
What are you seeing? Are investors taking heed of that?
The complicating factor here is investors are absolutely worried about the debt ceiling negotiations, but it's not the only thing they're worried about. There have been comments by various Fed officials over the last few weeks that there could be another rate increase on the cards for next month. That's something that is also kind of undermining confidence in the markets. But investors clearly are afraid. So if you take, for instance, Treasury bills that will be repaid on the 1st of June. So it's the US government paying its debt in 1 week. That should be essentially the safest possible security that you could buy. Yesterday, yields on those Treasury bills jumped to about 7.1% after closing the day before below 6%. I mean, that's an unheard of and frankly absurd move in the strongest, most liquid, apparently safest securities in the world. In terms of like the wider impact on the stock markets and longer term Treasury bonds, as I say, it's complicated by other factors, and we are in this strangely kind of low volatility period at the moment. But if you look at those really short-term Treasury bonds, which should be considered so safe, that spike in yield we saw yesterday shows there is genuine fear in some parts of the market.
That was Wall Street Journal markets editor Matthew Thomas. Matthew, thank you so much for the update.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is now a 2024 candidate for president. Our look at his campaign launch and his plans to defeat Donald Trump after the break.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has launched his long-awaited 2024 Republican presidential bid. But the much-hyped announcement on Twitter last night was mired by technical glitches and audio dropouts, delaying the launch and making it harder to hear what David Sacks and Elon Musk were saying as they introduced DeSantis.
Obviously, very excited to have Governor DeSantis make this.
Are you there? Can you hear us? I think you broke.
I'm here.
I know. I think you broke the internet there.
DeSantis later went on Fox News Tonight, where he took aim at immigration, President Biden's handling of the economy, and so-called woke culture in an interview with Trey Gowdy.
But we will, as president, lean in against woke ideology and against the sexualization of children. It's wrong, Trey, what they're trying to do to these kids. We're not going to abide by it. You know, as president, I'm going to make sure woke ideology ends up in the dustbin of history.
Journal national political reporter Alex Leary has been covering DeSantis's journey to this announcement, and he stayed up late for us to break down how last night's launch went. Alex, politicians, they want to make a splash with these campaign announcements. DeSantis clearly had some launch issues, it sounds like. How did that all go down?
He absolutely made a splash, just not the one I don't think he wanted. The Twitter Spaces, which is an audio forum launch, did not go well at all. It was plagued by glitches and problems, and it was basically stopped for nearly a half hour while they tried to resolve it. So a lot of people kind of fled from it. It led to a lot of quick mockery from rival, including former President Trump, President Biden, and just a host of others. It was a pretty rocky beginning to this launch, and he gambled on using Twitter Spaces, and it didn't quite work out for him.
All right, so maybe a rocky start to the campaign, but what did we learn about his platform?
Sure. DeSantis launched his campaign by presenting himself as an effective leader, as a governor of Florida, that someone who has pushed through a lot of conservative policies, and said that he is a winner, essentially contrasting himself, not by name, but with Donald Trump, leader of the party, in a number of elections that have not gone well for the Republicans.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that the extent of the contrast that he presented with Trump, how he's trying to distinguish himself?
Trump and DeSantis are quite similar on a lot of the issues. But there are some differences. For example, Governor DeSantis has gone hard after what he sees as kind of woke corporations, especially Disney. And that's something that Trump has sort of knocked him over. There's some Republicans, not just Trump, that are sort of uncomfortable seeing a Republican attack a private business. The other issue that potentially could be a split between Trump and DeSantis is over abortion. They've kind of squabbled in recent days over this issue. DeSantis signed a 6-week abortion ban recently. And Trump, while he's not explicitly criticized it, he has said that it's perhaps too harsh, which has led to some back and forth between him and DeSantis. So that's definitely an issue we're going to have to watch, is how the abortion issue plays out between the two.
All right. So there's a number of issues there on which the two candidates differ. But how is DeSantis looking to distinguish himself here and perhaps broaden his appeal beyond his base in Florida?
It definitely is around the cultural issues, but also Ron DeSantis and his team are planning to present more of his personality. He's got an interesting bio. He was raised in a sort of a modest family in Florida. He did not grow up wealthy, unlike Donald Trump. He went to Harvard, went to Yale, so he's got a pretty sterling academic career. He was in the Navy. He's got a pretty dynamic and charismatic wife and 3 young children. So they plan to really present that sort of image to the American public to show that this is a young, modern guy that's got to maybe appeal to everyday Americans.
Okay, but Trump still very much the front runner, and DeSantis will need to beat him if he wants to be the Republican nominee. What's that going to entail?
DeSantis has got a huge, long road ahead of him. Donald Trump has extended his lead. He looks quite formidable at this point, given the Republicans have rallied around him, especially his core supporters, which have doubled down on their support for him as he's faced a number of legal issues. So DeSantis has a big challenge. He slipped in the polls himself. He's had some unsteady moments so far, including the launch on Twitter. So he's got a lot of ground to make up.
And do we know what DeSantis's campaign is going to look like? Is he taking a more conventional approach, rolling out an operation in early voting states, or maybe more of a media-led campaign?
It's actually going to be quite interesting. He has a very well-funded super PAC behind him called Never Back Down, and that super PAC is starting to build a pretty massive ground game in early states. So normally that would be done by the campaign itself, but in this instance, it's going to be done by a super PAC that is going to have at least $100 million, if not double that, is what they're talking about. So it's very well-funded ground operation that they can build out volunteers and staff in early states.
And finally, Alex, what should we be watching for next? Is this Republican field of candidates kind of set at this point?
It's actually not. We expect that several others will get in, if not more. Mike Pence, the former vice president, is definitely looking to get in sometime in June. There's a number of former governors, including current governors. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu is one of them. Things are going to heat up quite heavily after Memorial Day. Governor DeSantis will probably hit all the early voting states. Donald Trump is going to make another round through them, and so are the handful of other Republicans who are running for president. So it's going to get quite busy pretty fast here over the summer.
That was Wall Street Journal national political reporter Alex Leary. Alex, thanks for staying up for us.
My pleasure.
In other news that's moving the world today, graphics chip maker NVIDIA says that it's poised for record sales in the current quarter, an announcement that topped market expectations and sent its stock surging after hours. Journal Semiconductor reporter Asa Fitch says that NVIDIA, which is projecting a more than 64% jump in sales, is capitalizing on demand for artificial intelligence technology.
The company just on Wednesday said it was on track for $11 billion of revenue in its current quarter. Its stock price went up by more than 25% after hours, reaching an all-time high. The company's getting closer to becoming the first trillion-dollar chip company. It's the world's most valuable chip company. You know, the results are in some ways an indicator for the broader industry, just in that they show there's a big financial opportunity for anyone who can tag on to this AI wave. But NVIDIA is also unique in that it has a huge lead over everyone else. Its chips undergird the current craze around generative AI, and there's really no viable substitute for them. You need NVIDIA's chips to build these large language models like the one that OpenAI's ChatGPT is based on. There are other big tech companies like Google and Microsoft that are working on their own generative AI projects, and these things involve thousands of NVIDIA's chips. They're essential.
In Washington, a rare cabinet-level meeting is due to take place today between U.S. and Chinese officials, in the latest sign that both sides are trying to restore ties. The Journal's chief China correspondent, Lingling Wei, told me that the dinner between Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo and her Chinese counterpart will test whether the U.S. and China can reset relations after months of recriminations.
It is a very important meeting because it really marks the beginning of a renewed effort from both Beijing and Washington to start basic lines of communication again. Both the U.S. and China tried to kickstart some dialogue earlier this year, and then that process was derailed by this Chinese balloon. So the expectations these days are very low for any kind of concrete results that could improve the bilateral relationship in a significant way. But the simple fact that both sides are sitting down and having a conversation, that is notable.
South Korea has for the first time launched commercial satellites aboard a homegrown rocket. Today's launch comes as the two Koreas race to bolster their national defenses and expand their surveillance capabilities. Journal reporter Dossal Yoon says that South Korea is hoping to launch its first spy satellite in the coming years, while the North is set to launch its first military satellite.
North and South Korea have grown more antagonistic toward each other, and both sides are ambitious to develop spy satellite technology. The Nuri rocket does not have military purposes, but the rocket launch of a commercial satellite aboard a homegrown rocket shows South Korea has acquired the ability to domestically develop and test rockets that can be loaded with a satellite, which is technology essential for building larger rockets that could carry military satellites to monitor North Korea.
And new U.S. Census data is revealing the changing composition of American families, with same-sex marriages and partnerships accounting for about 1% of households in 2020, 5 years after the Supreme Court legalized such unions nationwide. While researchers have coaxed limited data on same-sex couples from earlier censuses, the new data is the most complete national portrait ever compiled. Opposite-sex married couples made up 46% of households, according to the new data, with about 28% occupied by someone living alone. And finally, with the joys of summer comes the horror of mosquitoes. And if you find that the insects are particularly drawn to you, there could be something to that, with a new study finding that certain soaps could make you a tastier mosquito target. The study looked at popular personal care brands in the U.S., with products from Dial, Dove, and Simple Truth among those that made participants more attractive to mosquitoes, while only a soap from the brand Native made them less attractive. WSJ medical science reporter Dominique Mossbergen has the details.
Again, it seems like your own personal body odor might play a role too. So you and your kids, for example, might be using the same soap, but one of you might end up being much more attractive to the mosquitoes or much less attractive because of the way your smells are mingling. But you could maybe experiment with some of your soaps and see if they do have an impact. From the study, it seems like maybe smells like coconut and bourbon and almond extract might have a bit of a repellent effect. I don't know if you want to douse yourself in bourbon, though. That might not be the best idea. So I definitely wouldn't just count on using soap as your one way of repelling mosquitoes, but it could be part of the arsenal of preventing mosquito bites.
And that's What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. Additional audio in this episode was from Reuters. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.